1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 12. For even as the body is one, and yet as many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now, listen to this, God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honourable, on these we bestow more abundant honour. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our presentable members have no need of it. But God has designed the body, giving more abundant honour to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body. I want you to take note of that verse. Us are Christ's body. It doesn't say that we're like one. It says that we are. You are the Christ's body. And individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles and gifts of healing, helps with administration, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. And then he goes on to into the famous chapter, If I Speak with the Tongues of Men, and he's talking about the real love. But I want to talk about, really, within this passage, maybe two verses of the importance of actually belonging and giving ourselves, not just to God as the head, as it talks about in Ephesians, but to the whole body, so it works kind of properly. I came across something as I was studying, and this guy, what he does, he's trying to get over the false concepts or pictures of what church is. And this is what he said. He says, first of all, he said, the church is not a petrol station. He says, somewhere where we kind of go on a Sunday and we fill up and then it keeps us going for a week. Now, what I'm going to say, I think, are partly true. But it's not kind of the main reason. So that's number one. Number two is, it's not like the Mareel. It's not a place for entertainment or an hour of escape or where it makes me feel better. But in a way, it does. Number three, it's not to treat church like a chemist. You kind of come for a prescription because the church is often therapeutic. And in a way, it does. The last one is, it's sometimes church is like a retail outlet. It's like a clean and safe environment for you and your family. A great service, programs for children and for young people. But in a way, it does. And what it's getting at is this. Is sometimes we come to church, people go to church to come and take, but not to come and give. And this is what he's getting at. Sometimes church is all about me. It's what I want. I want to be filled up. I want this for my family, etc., etc. I ain't got a problem with that. I think this guy was a little bit extreme because we need that. But the main reason why we come is not just so that we can come and take, but we come and give. And when we come and give, we're actually part of an incredible body that God has put people into place. It's mind-blowing. We've got people from Australia. We've got people from Ecuador. We've got different people coming from different lands. And God, he doesn't just place us somewhere. He plants us, because that's where he's wanting us to grow. So to me, this is really, it's quite important regarding giving ourselves. It says we've got one body, but many, many parts. Dave told me a while ago that he had a choir here, didn't he? I think you were, there were quite a lot, 70, how many people were in it? Yeah. Choir master, or a person who is a conductor of an orchestra. It don't matter how many people are in that orchestra, that conductor knows who's not playing at the right time. He knows every person within that orchestra. Will it be an orchestra if people come and they forget their instrument, or they just kind of don't turn up at all, or they come and they argue and say, I don't want to play this anymore, I want to play that? Does it cease to be an orchestra? No, it doesn't. But it's not kind of doing what it's meant to do. And so my question is that if people are not involved within the body, do we cease to be a church? Well, no, we don't, but we kind of don't function the way that God wants us to. And so this is where I think some of these verses have really hit me afresh of God has placed every person within his church, loaded with gifts and loaded with talents, not just from our physical birth, but from our spiritual birth. But it's God who's done it. And you'll know yourself when you've been in different churches, sometimes churches limp along, or they drag people. But you know when the body's really moving and it's working together. I think a few months ago I talked about this, like when the hand is really, really stiff and it's not joined up, and it's not tucked in, not like this hand. And we kind of, it's a bit stiff and it's a bit sort of, it's brittle, it's hard, but when it's flexible, my hand can do such a lot when it's all moving together, but very difficult when it's like this. And so you and I have been in so many churches like that. And so it's really, really important. If you look at verses 18 and 19 of this passage, it says, but now God has placed the members, each one, with all the gifts and with all the talents. Then you look into verses 14 and 16 and verse 19, where it talks about harmony. Boy, I'll tell you something. I think when you and I have been in a church that has fallouts and it argues and it's fighting, it's not fun. It's awful. It kind of makes you want to spew at times. And so here it's talking about the importance of doing life together, working together within a body. For that whole body of Christ, because he's the head and he's the one who gives instructions. And sometimes in life, in church, we can be like the withered hand. It's part of the body, but it's kind of got a bit dead because it's not sort of connected to the head. It can't receive any instruction. And so sometimes in church, we get hurt, we get knocked. And we experience church, don't we? All over, in every area, in every facet. But every member is to be alive and to give their talents to the body as God instructs us. And he's set us all in place. So diversity is okay. You know, I pastored a church in Dubai. We had 7 denominations in it, 45 nationalities. Wow, that were interesting. That were really, really interesting. When people are wanting their own way and they want this and we're going that way. And all of a sudden we began to realize that, you know, but Lord, we belong to you. The fights were awful. Honest, I'm not joking. We had hate mail on cars. We had secret police at the back of the church. We had people fighting over the most stupidest of things. And there was a massive fallout within church. And kind of when we arrived, everybody were really raw. It wasn't a very particularly nice place to be. And then when God began to convict and he began to show and he began to reveal, and where people began to repent and then the whole church talk about being together and being alive. And once we got to a place of unity, we never lost it. And we're going to be talking about that tonight, how important that unity really, really is. Do you know what happened? People came and said, "What do you want me to do?" "I've never been in a church like that. Never. You've always got to go around talent spotting, or, hey, what do you think about doing this?" But there were loads of people coming and saying, "Do you know something? I feel so alive in God. What do you want me to do?" Man alive, it was incredible. And so the body began to really, really build. And it was just an exciting place to be. And sometimes within church we think, I'm not kind of needed. My feet get washed maybe once a day. Is that bad? Does anybody else wash their feet once a day? Does anybody else wash their feet twice a day? Sometimes twice a day if I go to the gym and then I'm in the shower. But I wash my feet once a day. My hands, I'll wash them, I don't know how many times a day, especially if there's some washing up to do. Sometimes the gifts of people, like the eye and the ear, when I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, you're looking at my eyes. You're not looking at my ears. Sometimes ears are kind of covered up with hair. So when I'm looking at Val, I'm not looking at her ears because they're covered up with hair. I know some of you haven't got hair to cover up your ears. But what I'm getting at is I'm looking at your eye. It's a prominent thing. And so what some people think is, but I'm not an eye and I'm not a hand. I'm a foot. And so my feet, when I come out of a shower, I'll put a sock over it and I'll put a shoe over it and then it's forgotten. But without that foot, I just can't manage. Without a hand, without an ear, without the eye. Do you understand what I'm getting at? This is, so please don't feel as though, well, I'm just a foot and I'm just a nothing and a nobody and I've got nothing to contribute to the body. You and I belong to him and he has gifted us with all kinds of gifts, musical talents, the gifts of the Spirit. Wow, we've got such a lot to contribute to. Please don't ever think that I'm just a foot and nobody sees me because I'm covered up. And I would love to be an eye, or I'd love to be a hand. And this is what Paul's talking about here, is the love that we have for each other. And the affirmation is so important within the body. And I think there's still more gifts to explore. And as we build as a body and we continue to do that, other things will begin to come into play. And this again is what Paul is talking about here regarding the body. Look at verses 21 and 22. These are vital affirming, affirmation, the gifting within the church. Why do we need to do that? Why do we need to encourage others within the body? Well, this is what I believe. It's because we can be really good at criticizing and we can be really good at being negative. Well, I think so. I think we're very good at that. And so affirmation is just continuing to encourage each other in saying, "Do you know something? I'm really thankful for what you do here within this church." And maybe we need to say that more and more as we give ourselves to God and we give ourselves to the body. Listen to these. These are 27 attitudes regarding the body. And it's all to do with one another. Listen to these. We are to love one another. We are to build one another up. We are to honour one another. We are to be kind to one another. We are to serve one another. We are to instruct one another. We've got to be patient with one another. We've got to forgive one another. We've got to confess our faults to one another. Then there's 9 do nots. Do not harm one another. Do not irritate one another. Do not be jealous with one another. Don't judge one another. Don't lie to one another. Don't complain to one another. And Paul is pushing quite a lot here because the body of Christ is so different to anything else. It is something really, really special because Christ died for it. So we either encourage or discourage. We either uplift or we put down. We either bless or we say nothing. Listen to this. We've been adopted by the same Father redeemed by the same Saviour, sealed by the same Spirit. We're part of the same kingdom. We're members of the same body. We live and preach the same gospel. We have the same enemy. We've got the same destination. There's no gym membership that's got that. There's no work group that's got that. Only the church has got that. And so this is the importance of how you and I really, really build one another up. Okay, I'm going to test your memory. Here we go. For I'm building a people of power, and I'm... Keep going. That will rule through this land by my Spirit. And this is the Holy Spirit amongst us. In Ephesians, it talks about be filled with the Spirit, which means to be controlled by. And so when he's in control, you see, we can't control the wind. I'd love to be able to control the wind on Shetland, man alive. But we can't control the wind, and we can't control the Spirit. Last week, when people shared about what God was doing and what he'd been saying and the things that had been going through, it was really, really encouraging. I think we could have gone on another hour. Because God's at work in us. But when Priscilla shared that kind of picture of the sailboat, about you and I actually pulling up our sails, for when the wind of the Spirit comes, and it's got to be set in that way that we catch the kind of the Spirit working in them on it, yielding to him. The thing is, folks, that we're not in control. We think we are, but we're not. He's in control. So to be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by. And it's giving ourselves over so much to God that he can work in us and through us by his Spirit. And we're joined to one another. I think this is one thing that Paul really, really is driving home. Church is so different to anything else. Christ died for the body. And then the body kind of clicks and joins together. It's very difficult when members don't feel part of. But it's really powerful when the whole body is really working together. In the Middle East, we started off with 200 people. It built up to just over 1,200 people. Gifts and talents, the Spirit was, oh, my, I can't even explain it. And God was just at work. But it all began from fights. Well, it didn't begin there. It began when there were unity. And people coming up and saying, can you use me? Well, tell me where you're gifted. What do you like doing? I love doing this. I love doing that. Oh, man. The body just began to build and build and build. A few months ago, I mentioned about this microsurgery, about parts of bodies that actually stitch back on, whether it's a finger or even an arm. And I was really, really intrigued. I've mentioned this, but I want to mention it again, is that these parts receive life again when they are linked back up to the body. When they're separate, there's no life in them. But when they're kind of stitched back onto the body, these people who do all this, these microsurgeons, they measure the success of it by how much life comes back into that piece. And I think that's vital for every church. This is why I think it's important to care for one another, to affirm one another, to build one another up. It's a place, it's church, where we hear all the great stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, there are times when we need a kick up backside, there are times when we need a strong word, there are times when we need to be firm, and I get that, but mainly, this is really building one another up. This is really encouraging each other, especially when it gets really difficult. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They're talking about these gifts that were being used and abused and misused because they were confused. I really like that. I love that little statement. Let me see if I can just say it like this. You and I, belonging to God, belonging to Christ, have been given gifts, loaded with gifts. But your gifts that God has given to you are not for you. They're for here. They're for everybody else. And gifts are for serving. We don't need to brag about them. Because these gifts have been given from God to us to serve the body. And as we move forward in God, indwelt by God, I were actually going to mention that, but I'm just looking at the time because I need to just draw things to a close. God has arranged the parts of the body. And it says, now you are the body of Christ. In this passage, it's really important is that it's not just individuals that are growing. It's the whole body growing together. And we'll do that as each individual part begins to grow, begins to get involved with each and everybody else, making sure that everybody else is growing as well. And this is what it's talking about here. Have you ever seen a bodybuilder that's got massive shoulders, big chest, Popeye arms, and then little skinny legs? And no, I'm not referring to me, by the way, just in case that picture come into your head. But they kind of look a bit odd. And so it's important. This is what Paul is saying here, is it's not just one or two individuals. It's not just the shoulder and the arms. It's everyone. Can you remember last week we spoke about the revival? And Duncan Campbell had just got off the boat and he'd just got onto the dock. And the leaders approached him. And the first words were, "How's your walk with God? Are you walking with God, Duncan?" I've not heard that for yonks. But years ago, that's how we used to be. How's your walk with God? I don't know if we do that anymore. Maybe we need to start doing that again. It's just caring for each other. And so this morning, I just want to kind of drive home the importance of you being part of Christ, him being the head, being part of the body, loaded with gifts and talents. Where are we going as a body? This is what I want to close with. I've been a pastor, as you know, for about 20, 27 years. And I'm always concerned that churches don't just try an idea because it sounds good. Because you and I, we've got all kinds of ideas. And if we try this idea and that idea and that idea, we end up going in all kinds of different directions. So as pastor working with the leaders, maybe for the last 6 months, I've said, Lord, what are you doing on the island? How do we as a church need to build and grow? And being encouraged. And I began to write things down in my diary, looking over the next kind of year and a half. And my devotional times, my prayer times, there were some incredible things happening. And so what I did is I wrote down, number one, I think we need more training in evangelism, more training in mission. I think we do an incredible job of building friendships. The soup and sweets, the cuppers, the people that we know, people who come to church, we're a very warm, friendly, loving church. And it's always looking now at the next step. And so the next step, the way that I saw things at that time, and I put it in my diary, is not being afraid to pray with someone. Not being afraid now to talk about Jesus to them. So kind of looking at the training part. Anyway, just hold that. That's number one. In our Christian life, we get hits and we get knocks, and sometimes life becomes quite heavy. And as I was praying and in my daily readings and really listening to the Lord, that the next one, which is number two, it would all to do with being refreshed and being renewed and being revived, and kind of looking back at that church in Dubai, that's what happened, and it was kind of electric. And I thought, wow, this is really great. So I put that in as number two. And then number three, kind of thinking, what if we did a mission, Lord? What if we did an outreach week? And so I phoned a friend up called Roger Carswell. He's an evangelist where I think Aubrey and you guys, when you went over to Morecambe, you've met him. He'd be ideal for the island. And so I just thought, right, I'll ring him up, Lord, and if he's available. Anyway, I've kind of booked him for March 2020. So these are these three things that in my devotions and in my prayer times, and I was sharing this with the leaders, and then I thought, Lord, I just don't want this to be an idea, not my idea. I know it sounds good, but you, please confirm it to me. Please show me. Now, ever since I've been here, I have a road, and it's my prayer road. Now, don't ask me why. Well, I know now, but I didn't know then. But I love to jump in my car and I love to go and pray in my car, and I ride through the Tingwall Road, you know, where the locks are. I don't even know why I started loving that road. But there were times when I really needed to be with God. And so that was my prayer drive. And I found that over the months, God began to speak to me. And I remember jumping in the car and I said, "Lord, you know what I'm going to ask you? And I don't know whether you're going to speak to me here, but I'm going to go down that road." And this is the road, as you know yourself, if you're local, where years ago all the decisions were made for Parliament. And I didn't know that. Now, whether that's got some kind of significance to it, I don't know. But let me just share this with you. I got in my car and I'm driving. This was summer's evening. There was nobody around. No, I didn't even see a car. They were full of midges. And I pulled up as I come by, and I pulled up at the first lock. And I'm not joking. I was so frustrated because the fish that I saw, and I hadn't brought my rod. Honest, I was sat in the car frustrated, and I thought, look at him. Where, Mike, where are you? When I need you, Mike Forbes. And it were kind of, honest, there were rings. And I'm sat there because I'm kind of nosy. I people watch. And I'm always watching things. And I'm sat in my car. And I thought, where's all anglers? There's loads of fish here. Look at them all. There's not a soul around. And I'm thinking, is it because they're not bothered? Is it because they've tried? Is it because people are... Maybe there would be more fisher people with rods if they knew how to fish. And all of a sudden, I got this vivid picture of believers just around this lock, all fishing because they knew how. Because the fish were there to be caught. But there was nobody there. And I'm thinking, wow, this all fit into this first thing in my diary regarding maybe this is talking about training. How to fish. How to pray for people, how to witness. And so I got a real vivid picture, and God speaking to me, and I'm in my car, and I thought, wow, I didn't expect that. So everything went back to point number one, about being trained, so that we're not afraid to take opportunities and actually talk about Jesus, because really, that's evangelism. Not talking about church. Church is great, but it's getting down to him. So I thought, wow, maybe we need that training. So I carried on in my little car, and I carried on up to the other end, and then you'll never believe this. Maybe you will, but I couldn't. On the side were a big wagon, and it was an open wagon, and there were four people, three men and a woman, and you'll never guess what they were doing. They were shearing sheep. Well, I'm being nosy. I'm thinking, well, this is new for me on Shetland. So I kind of pulled up in the car, and I'm being nosy again. And all I saw were these sheep, heavy-laden fleeces. They looked really big and fat, and they were being picked up and put on back of this wagon. And one in particular, I noticed that its fleece were massive. And then it was sheared in a couple of minutes, and then it jumped off, and it was like a spring lamb. Honest, I was sat in the car laughing. I thought, look at that. And then it hit me. It was like, it's been refreshed. It's been renewed. It's been revived. And all of a sudden, I got this picture of, this is what God wants to do with us. Because life gets heavy, and life sometimes gets hard, and we end up carrying things. And God wants to refresh and to renew and to revive. And I'm sat there thinking, I ain't coming down this road again. I didn't expect God to speak this vividly. And so I were in my car, and I'm kind of driving out, and I thought, wow, I didn't expect it to be like a parable. And I never even give a thought about number three, because I were taken up with this number one and number two. You know when it's right, and you can jump in feet first when you've received things from God. It don't matter what anybody says, it don't matter about opposition, you know that it's God. And when we go his way, there's incredible blessing with it. Anyway, the next day, I wanted to go to the motorbike museum. Why? Because I want a motorbike. I ain't even going to go down that voting process because I'm going to lose on that one as well. But I think there's some great things that a person can do on a motorbike. But anyway, I went to the museum and it was closed. And I thought, right, okay, I'll just carry on this road. Never even give it a thought. And I'm halfway down this Tingwall Road, and it was a beautiful day, or a bit like today. And I stopped. And the reason why I stopped, because right in the middle of the two locks, there were a mini combine harvester. This is the second day. A mini combine harvester, and there were two trucks. And it, you know, these mini combine harvesters with a funnel and the blowing, all this. And I'm sat there thinking, I'd never noticed that yesterday. I'm like, thick. What on earth are they, what are they reaping? What are they doing? And so I was nosy. And I thought, I never even saw that yesterday. And then it clicked. It takes a time sometimes for me to just catch on. And then I thought, they're reaping. Harvesting. Oh my word, this is number three. This is number three. This happened in 2 days. I have no idea. You know when you can't write it? You know when you can't? You know when you'd love to write how God speaks to you, but you can't? And this to me, them three things that I put in my diary, them three things on them 2 days were very vivid and very real. Now, I'm not being all super spiritual here because I don't often get stuff like this. But I drove out from that road heading home a little bit overwhelmed, a little bit humbled, but really knowing that where God is leading us as a church, even over this next maybe year and a half. What we're going to do after the mission in 2020, I don't know. But you know when God's made it so clear, you're off. You can see. And God just reveals things to us. And I wanted to share that with us this morning. It's an exciting time being trained. You'll get that at work. If you want to progress, you'll often go through courses. And so this is exactly the same. It's just progressing into his mission, into his vision. And then being revived and being refreshed and being renewed. That to me is on the heart of God for every church and for every person. And then this kind of reaping time. Let me just close with a quote. If we want a big harvest, we need to sow a lot of seed. I'll repeat that. If we want a big harvest, we need to sow a lot of seed. So to me, I'm excited. My hairs are standing up on the back of my neck, just really believing that it's right. But we as a body need to commit to that. Just let God speak to you about this. And let's see great things done for him. Working with him, working with his spirit.